This is Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. Yesterday, Governor Gavin Newsom announced a revised budget plan to address the more than $54 billion deficit the state is facing in the wake of COVID-19. In his address, Newsom called on the legislature to dramatically reduce funding to public schools. It's the latest blow to districts already grappling with campus closures and an uncertain future. To learn more about how COVID-19 is impacting education and school budgets, I spoke with education reporters Monica Velez from the Fresno Bee, Emma Sasek from the Bakersfield Californian, and John Fensterwald from EdSource. Monica, I'd like to start with you. I'm really interested to know how schools are determining which students are staying engaged and which students have checked out since we've transitioned to distance education. So based upon your reporting, how are districts tracking attendance?
That's a really good question, and it's something that we're actually not very clear on. So in terms of Fresno Unified, the biggest district in the Valley or in Fresno County, they are tracking attendance weekly. The last updated numbers that I got was 40% of their students are engaging in some type of distance learning, whether that be online or whether students are using packets. And Clovis Unified, they're actually a little bit different. So the last numbers that we got is 98% of their students are engaging in distance learning. And so you can see how those two numbers is kind of a big jump there. And we don't, we can't really say or know exactly why that is. But the one thing is Clovis Unified, they have made work mandatory since the beginning of the closures, of the school closures in March. And Fresno Unified, they have not made grading mandatory.
Could you explain why that is?
I talked to Superintendent Bob Nelson about why Fresno Unified's decision was to not make work mandatory right now. And it all comes down to equity issues. You know, in the beginning, there's a lot of students in Fresno Unified who don't have access to Wi-Fi or don't have, like, their own personal computer. A lot of families that I've talked to, some families only have a smartphone in terms of, like, having a device or access to the internet to go on to log online anywhere. And so that's kind of why they made the decision not to make schoolwork mandatory. And they're pretty much just going off of third quarter grades. And pretty much the whole consensus, I think, among all the districts in Fresno County is to do no harm to students' grades right now, just because, you know, there's still students, you know, Wi-Fi hotspots are getting sent out, and there's still a lot of students, so they don't have those Wi-Fi hotspots. And there's still a lot of students that also don't have their devices, even though, you know, all the districts have had plans to, like, roll out devices and get those out to families.
So, Emma, does this square with reporting or what you're hearing down in Kern County?
It does. So not too long ago, I spoke with some officials at the Bakersfield City School District, which has around 43 elementary and middle schools here in Bakersfield and other areas. And they also have experienced problems with equity. And one of the biggest things for them was they announced that they were not going to be grading these distance learning packets that they have given out to students from transitional kindergarten through eighth grade. And the biggest reason for that was they did not want to penalize students for, you know, not having the technology available or for not having an internet hotspot available for them. So that has been a struggle for them in terms of just making sure that children in rural areas and outlying areas have the same access to technology as those in the more urban city area. With the Kern High School District, which has 18 schools in Kern County, they have switched over to a grading system where students can have a pass or no pass type of grade. And this kind of sparked a little bit of outrage among some parents who, you know, for their juniors who are just about to start applying to colleges and are really trying to improve their GPA scores, a pass, no pass grade doesn't do much for their GPA, especially if they're in an honors or advanced placement course. So something that they recently have begun looking into is if when they implement a pass grade, which if you receive an A through a D grade, that would be a passing grade. they want to make sure that if a child is in an honors or an AP class, they get the GPA boost that they would get if a letter grade was associated with it. So that's something that they're currently looking into, and I know a host of other districts are either trying to stick to the pass, no pass, credit, no credit grading system because, again, they don't want to cause any harm to students during this very, very confusing time for them.
So, John Fensterwald, you're with EdSource. You cover education across the state. Are you seeing similar trends in grading policy in California? And I'm curious, what does this mean? What concerns does it raise in terms of college admission?
Well, it is pretty much the way it is statewide, and there's a lot of variation. And the state has given some guidance on this, as Monica says, I think the principle is to do no harm to children for whom the pandemic was wasn't their cause. And so do no harm from that. And also the awareness that different students have access to computers varies tremendously across the state. And so there are lots of variations. Elk Grove is probably the only one of the larger districts that is continuing to do A to F grading. Most other districts are saying what you did as of March could be your grade. You can raise it. But otherwise, that will be your grade. And there are different options for credit, no credit, and pass-fail. And the CSU and UC will accept credit and will accept just credit as a passing grade for all students in California, actually for the next 3 years for those courses that they took out of recognition that this is an extraordinary time. Just a thought on attendance. Very early on, the governor said districts will be compensated for their tuition for the rest of the year, so they're not obliged to report attendance, and so the state's not collecting the data, and fortunately not even collecting data on the extent to which students are connecting with their teachers in their schools. So we won't know that. Many districts are keeping attendance, at least for themselves, so that they're aware of who's connected and who isn't. They have various ways of doing that, either reading who's on the platform or asking teachers to do a weekly attendance so that people know. And San Diego is actually, now that it's rolled out, it's online education, actually will be doing attendance and reporting publicly so that people know. And it's really important that counselors try to connect with those students who the teachers aren't connecting. And so attendance is really critical, even though the state's not collecting the data.
So earlier, we were touching on this issue of access to technology and the equity issues that entails. Monica, you've been reporting about Fresno Unified and recently wrote a story about a group of parent organizations that are working with the ACLU to demand more access to online tools. What are you hearing about this transition to distance education from a technological perspective? How is it working for the Valley's largest school district?
Yeah, so I think that it's kind of been a matter of how the type of access that students have right now. I spoke to a student who only can do his schoolwork on the weekends because that's when he goes to his dad's house and his dad has Wi-Fi. So I think that it's kind of mixed all across the board. And in terms of Fresno Unified and the letter that the ACLU sent, they're pretty much saying that Fresno Unified has to focus on doing more for vulnerable students, which, you know, they identify those students as LGBTQ+ students, homeless youth, foster youth, English learners.
Monica mentioned several vulnerable student populations. You know, one of the most vulnerable are special needs students. Emma, what are you hearing about how districts in Kern County are addressing the needs of these most vulnerable student populations?
You know, that's actually a topic that I was wanting to dive a little bit more into in the coming days and weeks, so thank you for bringing it up. But I know when Kern County Superintendent of Schools initially announced that school closures would last for about 2 weeks or so, they said that support would be available to students with special education or special needs, and that would be determined by staff members who work with them, and they would, you know, be helping their parents get through, you know, initially the first 2 weeks, but now obviously that has extended through the rest of the academic year. So that's something that I really want to dive a little bit deeper into to see just how connected parents and families are with their teachers who, you know, for 8 hours a day provide support to students. And even before the school closures officially took off, a former educator was telling me, who had worked with special needs children for a number of years, that the most important thing that parents can do right now is to keep some type of consistent schedule in place for these students, because that's what they're used to in their classrooms. You know, they know that they'll come in and do certain activities and tasks for some amount of time, then they might take a break for lunch or for some other types of activities before diving back into curriculum and whatever might be left for the rest of the school day. So that was the biggest piece of advice that she offered for families, and it's been something that I've been very curious about, so that's kind of the next step in my reporting.
So I'd like to switch gears and talk about funding. During the last recession, the state took billions of dollars away in funding for education. So, John, can you tell us, based upon what you know right now, about what financial impact COVID-19 could have on K-12 schools in California?
Well, just a tremendous amount of impact. And the problem, the difference between now and the recession, is that now we have added expenses because of the pandemic. And the pandemic then has thrown the state and nation into an economic recession. So not only do you have a declining revenue, but you have added expenses as we purchase computers and as we prepare to and hand out food and as we prepare to open schools. All those options are going to be more expensive. At the same time, the districts are facing probably much larger cuts than they had in the Great Recession. The governor said last week that Proposition 98, which is a formula which determines the percentage of the state budget that goes to schools, will be down about $18 billion, and that's more than 20% over the next 2 years. That's a huge hit. What we don't know is what the state can do to mitigate that, to make it less than that. And you know, one can guess, we'll have to see what the governor and the legislature say, but it'll probably end up over 10% that districts can face in the next year. And it will be, again, at the same time that they face the problems of loss of learning and how to make up for that. And as to reopen schools with social distancing of 10 students in the classroom, all of this is going to be tremendously complicated and potentially more expensive.
So the million-dollar question that everybody has right now is, what is the fall going to look like? Of course, we don't know at this point, but what are you hearing, Monica, about how Fresno Unified or other districts in the Fresno area are sort of bracing for what the fall could hold?
Yeah, that's something that actually hasn't been too talked about yet. I think just because things are changing still pretty rapidly. But the one thing is, I know that Fresno Unified, Clovis, and Central, they're all kind of looking at the state for guidelines on what to do. There has been some talk about, you know, in terms of the budget for Fresno Unified, they have talked about how they expect to have to spend more money in terms of like cleaning products, sanitizing products. So they're kind of already bracing for what they know is probably going to happen, which is, you know, they're going to need to take, you know, they're sanitizing up like another notch because of, you know, because of the pandemic.
And then Emma, what are you hearing in Kern County?
You know, it's a little similar to what Monica just outlined with Fresno Unified and several other districts. You know, we heard the other day that Cal State universities will most likely have predominantly virtual learning taking place for maybe the whole fall, the majority of the fall, and Bakersfield College, our community college here, also told me yesterday that they were looking at more virtual options, except for, you know, those needed in-person courses that need to be done with hands-on learning, such as a lab or a clinical. As far as K through 12 goes, I think right now, you know, as Monica put it, they're just looking at it day by day, and it is a changing situation constantly. So they maybe don't want to make a decision right now just because, you know, maybe in a month's time things might be a little bit different. I will say, though, that the Kern High School District, which has 18 schools here, they are really trying to figure out what to do for graduations, and that's been a big topic around here locally. Because obviously a high school graduation is such a momentous celebration for families. So actually this coming Monday, they will decide whether some type of in-person ceremony is possible or if there are going to be some virtual options that they need to consider and look at. But at the last school board meeting, they said that students and really officials really don't want to stick to it virtually. But we'll see how things go and advance in the next few weeks.
It's going to be very interesting indeed. Yeah. We just have a minute or two before we wrap up. John, I'd like to give you the last word. There have been lots of conversations about a shortage of qualified teachers in California well before we entered into this pandemic. I'm wondering if you could just speak briefly about what the impact of COVID-19 could have on the teacher pipeline.
Well, you know, in the last recession, the Great Recession, it resulted in most the first and second year teachers losing their jobs, and that led to cutbacks in programs in the teacher preparation programs in CSU, and so we are feeling that shortage now. It would be a real disaster if more teachers were laid off just at the time when we need them most. I think it remains to be seen how this impact is going to have on teacher preparation programs. I know that in the next year, there are going to be a tremendous need for probably long-term substitutes as some of the older teachers who feel health dangers because of the COVID probably take leaves or that has to be worked out. It's a real problem. So I think it remains to be seen what is this going to do to the shortage and how CSU it's going to affect their programs and other. But I think immediately we're going to need the market. Probably this coming year looks good for those teachers who are coming out of prep programs.
Well, thank you all so much for your reporting and for bringing us up to speed on what's happening in education right now. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.